to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 206 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Oh, man. It's about 6 o'clock, about 6:30 here in Metro Detroit. And if you guys knew the hell that I have been through over the last 90 minutes or so, this computer has been giving me the fits. Like, I recorded the weather segment with Aaron, and there was weird echoes, there was this, there was that, nothing wanted to work right. And I'm just like, what the hell, man? Like, this computer is really just used for the podcast. Tuesday night and emails is really the extent that this thing gets used for. And, you know, click the same buttons week in, week out. And it just blows my mind how technology will just perfectly work. And then just all of a sudden, nope, not today. I am going to just twist and dig and just piss you off. And that's what it did. But I digress. Here we are, ready to have an awesome show tonight. Hope you all had a fantastic weekend. It is officially, it's officially fall up here. Goodbye, warm sun. Goodbye, t-shirts. Goodbye, shorts. Hello, 50 degrees. Hello, misty rain. Hello, sweatpants and hoodies. The golf clubs are officially retired until next season. I'll tell you, Lap Traffic, it's, you guys know it's been a busy couple weekends, and this past weekend was actually laid back. Chilled at the house all three nights, didn't leave the house all weekend, except for the exception of Saturday, did some running around with Lindsay and all that good stuff. But Sunday, before the race, started prepping the house for our window installation that is happening tomorrow. And at this point, this show's literally become like a two-day production. Might record a couple spots Monday night. Sometimes the weather segment's recorded Monday. Sometimes the fantasy segment's recorded Monday. Just depends on, you know, availability of everybody, right? So need to get the house prepped for windows early so that I could make sure the show would go on. And here we are. And man, but you guys know when I was talking about some of the other stuff we've been doing to the house, like, Brandon does not like clutter and disorganization. And that is what the house has been. So it's been stressful for me. I've got a tasty beverage poured. I cannot believe the season is going to be over in 3 weeks. Part of me is sad. Part of me is happy. You know, I'm sad because of the same reason we're all sad. There's no racing to watch for about 90 days. But I'm happy for a couple reasons. One, going to extend and go a little bit deeper in terms of, you know, content without doing some repeat shows and all that kind of stuff. And going to try to do a couple different things that I think is going to be cool. I'm happy that with the end of the season brings a new season, which maybe brings us back to something of our old normal. Hopefully we can get back to the tracks as fans, media to that, to some degree at least. So we'll see. Looking forward to the future, right? Hope you guys enjoyed last week's show with Gary Camp from Dover and Nashville. And AJ Allmendinger was on. And I know we all maybe fell for the announcement that Colic Racing tweeted out. Great job by whoever put that together. That's for sure. So last week's show was great. Make sure you go check that out. Tonight got a great show for you guys as well. Very excited. In just a minute here, going to have Brett Holmes on our 2020 ARCA champ. He was crowned this past weekend at Kansas. So very excited to talk to him and hear his story. I think it's going to be pretty cool. I got your Trucks Xfinity Cup recap from Kansas as well. Social media shout outs. And we're gonna bust in a little silly season segment because there is plenty to talk about. That's for sure. Aaron will be on with the weather for Texas as well as the Big Ten football season's kicking off this weekend. I've got a little bit different take that might surprise you guys, to be honest with you. It's not all just kissing maize and blue ass. I've got some hot takes for that, so stay tuned to that. Hopefully you don't mind a little Big Ten college football talk. Got your lucky dog lap down picks, of course, as well as fantasy to close the thing out. We got three more weeks to go, and we're crowning a new Lap Traffic Fantasy champ. So let's get things going. Without further ado, let's get Brett Holmes on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is the driver of the number 23 Holmes Excavation Chevy. He had 19 top 10s and 20 starts this year, along with 14 top 5s and a win back at Kansas this June. And he is your 2020 ARCA Menards Series champion. Welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Brett Holmes. Brett, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, man. Good. How are you?
Awesome. Hey, man. Well, first off, congrats on the championship. How cool is that?
Thank you, man. It's amazing, really. I mean, just knowing how hard we've worked for it, and thinking back to everything that led up to it is what makes it really special.
All right, now, how have you been using that trophy as a nightlight? You gotta be honest with me now.
Okay, well, I did bring it. It is in my room in Auburn, and it looks like a really high-end lava lamp is what it really looks like.
When I saw it, I'm like, man, that's cool. That is, like, you know, obviously ARCA's got a lot of younger drivers. LED lights are all the thing, and the different changing colors for rooms and stuff. I'm like, that is a spot-on trophy, and I absolutely love it, man. So I was like, I gotta ask him that. That's awesome. I love it. Absolutely love it. All right, so you mentioned Auburn. So you grew up in Alabama, and I think most people would probably assume, you say you're from Alabama, you say Crimson Tide, right? But you actually went to Auburn University. I think that's awesome that you were able to manage racing and going and getting your college degree at the same time, man.
Yeah, thank you. It's been tough. Really, this year's been the toughest year just because our schedule got so condensed and we were running every weekend where normally we would have some more weekends off in between. And taking a full load through school through the week is that made it really made for some really stressful nights, to say the least. And but luckily I'm almost done, and I'll be graduating here in a couple months, so I'm really excited about that.
Congrats. That's awesome. So are you on campus with that trophy? Like, you're the big man on campus swaggering around with a freaking ARCA championship. Like, I'd be carrying that thing, man. Like, what I got? Like, look how cool I am, man.
Well, I'm not normally like that. You know, I don't normally flaunt my stuff like that. But I live right off of campus, about a mile off campus. So, a lot of the guys I go to school class with and stuff, they've been really supportive and watched the race, and even some of my professors did. So it's been really cool to see, a lot of the feedback and support from the people I've met at Auburn and some of the lifelong friends I've made there.
That's awesome. So I was going to ask about, so I actually taught at a Detroit university for a couple years up here. And, every once in a while I'd have a class where maybe I had a student athlete and they'd come up and be like, hey, they'd give me their paperwork and, can you work with me? I might miss this or that. Absolutely. Right. Totally appreciate, respect, and 100%. So how were your professors with this? Because this is a little different than a student athlete. Like, you're driving professionally at this point, basically. So were they cool with that? Like, wait, you're not playing for football, baseball, you're driving NASCAR. All right, cool, man.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my building science professors are really okay with it. They've been they're really willing to do anything to work around my schedule. Now, I can't say the same about some of the professors I had early on in college, like my math or English teachers. Like, sure. A couple of years ago, I actually put this on Twitter. I emailed a professor and used all the, proper email etiquette and was really nice and just asked him, I got to miss one day. Like, and he was like, he said, stock car racing is not a university excuse, sent from my iPhone. And I was like, wow. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, wow. We're taught to, use so much as far as etiquette goes and emails and stuff like that. Get a response like that is kind of frustrating, but that's the only one I've had to deal with.
Well, hey, it's better that you've had more positive than negative experiences. That's for sure there. Oh, man, that's crazy. That was a fun story. I love that, man. That's so cool. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about this year. Let's start with your sponsor, Holmes Excavation, family sponsor. That's got to be very cool to have the family represented on the car and to do them proud, man.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my dad started it from the ground up. about 20, 25 years ago. And, you know, we basically do site work and utility lines and dirt grading and things like that. And it really is a family company. Like, my half sister works in the office, and my uncles, they work as field superintendents, and my grandmother worked in the office as well. And when I, over the summers, when I'm not in school, I work in the field and as a project manager and superintendent too. So it's a really cool deal to, you know, to have a great family like that supporting you. And we work our butts off to do what we love to do, and it comes at a sacrifice, but we think it's well worth it.
That's awesome. All right. So, let's transition this way here. Let's talk about how you got started in racing, man. You know, the excavation racing, you know, where did that racing blood kick in at some point in time?
Yeah. So, you know, really it all started with my dad. We live really close to Talladega Super Speedway, probably about 10 minutes down the road. And awesome. He drove by one day, and, he was with a friend, and they came to the track, to the Super Speedway, and one of the Allisons were there testing. And, you know, that's where he kind of fell in love with racing and said, you know, I'm going to do this someday. So, there's a, the Talladega short track is right across the road from the Super Speedway. It's a little dirt track there. And so my dad started out racing, late models, dirt late models. And, you know, at first it was kind of just a hobby to him. You know, after the race, through the week, he'd just leave the car in the trailer, air up the tires, and, you know, wash it off while it's still on the trailer, and, you know, just did it for fun. And then it kind of turned into, took a lot more pride in it. And, he started being really competitive, and that's really when I came into the picture and started, I grew up going to the racetrack and watching him, mainly at Talladega Short Track. And, you know, I decided I wanted to race someday. So we started out in dirt go-karts and kind of worked my way up to the ranks of dirt late models and asphalt late models. And here we are in the ARCA series.
That's so cool, man. That's awesome. And you are kicking some ass in the ARCA series. 81 starts in the ARCA series, 63 top tens, man. That's damn near 80% in the top 10 for all of your starts. 28 top fives. That's almost 40. Those are incredible numbers that you've been able to sustain over a couple years, and consistency got you to the pay window this year. An outstanding year, you know, with the exception of Phoenix, you top 10 the whole season. Talk about the season overall for you, just how confident you felt getting in that car each and every week after knowing you were going to be, or once you started being as consistent early in the year.
Yeah, man, this season obviously has been one of our best. And, you know, really we started out the season not really planning on running the full ARCA schedule. And, you know, when the pandemic break shut everything down for a long time, it really condensed the other schedules as well. So it made it hard to do anything else and shut down some manufacturers and chassis builders. So we were going to do something outside of the ARCA series, but that made it really impossible to do it. So we came back, through the break, we updated a couple of cars, and we came back from the break and we're running really well. We're running top three, top five almost every weekend. And you know, that's when we realized, man, we got a shot at this. Like we can really win this championship. And even though we were down by big deficit in points early on in the season, and we just slowly chipped away at it. And whether we finished one or two spots in front of the 25 team every race, it was still a little bit, and we gained a little bit every race. And that's what put us in the spot we were in. And, you know, we just it just took a lot of hard work, a lot of time, a lot of late hours in the shop, and, you know, a lot of study and film and big briefing and going over what we can do better. So, I mean, it's been a whirlwind of a season, but it's been the best one we've ever had.
That's awesome, man. That's so cool. I love that. You picked up the win at Kansas right when you guys went back racing, basically. Knowing you got the win there, did that give you a little extra confidence boost knowing you're going to be wrapping up the season at Kansas?
Yeah, definitely. I don't see how I couldn't. You know, that was we had a great car at the first Kansas race and really brought the same piece back to the last Kansas race, even though the track conditions were really different. You know, the track temperature when we first came there was like 120 degrees, and when we got there, it was like 60 degrees. So it was a really big difference, and you know, it changed the balance of the cars a good bit, so we had to make a big swing at it. But, you know, we were still a solid car, had a chance to win. And, just missed it by a little bit, but that's okay. And, we just stayed out front all race and really did what we did the last time, and it worked out for us.
Awesome. All right. So you mentioned the 25 and Michael Self. You chipped away at that point deficit over the years. Mike's been on the show a couple of times. Great veteran guy out there in the ARCA series. And now, I know you go to the track to win. And as Joey Logano says, I bring my friends to the track. I'm not there to make any. But I'm sure some relationships have been formed with you and some of the other talented drivers in the ARCA series. Is there anyone out there that you lean on? Or you might share some information with, maybe to kind of learn something from them or anything like that? Have you formed a little friendship or anything like that with anyone out there on the track?
Well, really, as a mentor, I really look up to Grant Enfinger. He's one of the guys that really helped start our team, and he races full time in the Truck Series and ran a long time in the ARCA Series, and he's also another Alabama guy, and I really look up to him. I talk to him, with any questions I have as far as racing or outside of racing. And but as far as in the ARCA series, I mean, like you said, Michael, he's a great guy, and we've raced each other really hard over the last 2 or 3 years, and been really clean with each other. Ty Gibbs and Sam Mayer, they've been tough to beat this year, and gotten to know those guys pretty well at the racetrack. But I think when we're on track, we race each other with a lot of respect, but don't get too dirty or anything with anybody. But we've had a couple of races this season where we've got into it, but that's part of it, and
sure,
just part of being a competitor.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned Grant Enfinger. I absolutely love Grant Enfinger. He was one of the first truck guys that I ever had on the show. And anybody that listens to the Lab Traffic podcast knows how much of a fan I am of the Truck Series. A lot of the listeners are fans of the Truck Series. So Grant Enfinger is good company. And he is an absolute gem. And I am glad to have gotten to know him over the last couple of years. That is for sure. So that is so cool. That's the guy whose name you mentioned there. That's very, very cool.
Yeah, it'd be something I'm looking forward to one day is getting to race against him every weekend. Hopefully we can make the jump to the Truck Series someday, and hopefully I'll get to race against him every week. That'd be pretty cool.
Absolutely. All right, man. So this past weekend, man, talk about the nerve. The chip, the points deficit's gone. It's almost a head-to-head battle basically for going into this weekend. Talk about this past weekend at Kansas.
Yeah, I mean, it was the nerves got to me a little bit, and really just the week leading up to the race is where I was really stressed out or really just worried about anything that could go wrong. And it's hard not to have that in the back of your head, but really at the racetrack and during practice, I kind of, all that went away. I really was pretty happy with everything and just kind of carefree and not worried about anything. All of a sudden, I don't know what changed or what switched, but luckily that's the way it was. And you can ask some of my friends and roommates here. I was really stressed out about it beforehand. This is obviously a big deal, and I knew it was going to come down to the wire. And when it's like that, when it comes down to one race and all the marbles are in that one race, it's very nerve wracking. But I wouldn't trade anything that we went through this year for the world. So it's been a great experience, and there were a lot of tough times, but it was all worth it.
Oh, that's so cool, man. All right. So you've been in the ARCA series for a couple of years. The last 3 years, I think, were full time in the ARCA series. You got one race win, which came earlier this year, and now you got one championship. Talk about the different emotion after getting that first win, like, oh, finally, like, I can check that off. I got to victory lane in the ARCA series, and I've been running here for a while. Great finally to get that win. And then fast forward a couple months later to get the championship win. So what were those two different days like from you from an emotional perspective?
Well, I'd say they're probably really similar. Both of those things are something we've been working towards for the past 3 or 4 years, and to finally have it all come together. I mean, we could see it coming together this season, and we knew we were better than last season, just getting another year to work on a notebook again and updating some cars. And, you know, it's the sport's really all about people. And I've got some great guys on my team, and they believed in me and really gave me my confidence back in driving. And, you know, I think that's really what turned our team around and changed us and got us to where we're at. So it was definitely emotional for sure after those things happened. And, you know, it's a huge deal for us. We take a lot of pride in having our own team and outrunning some of these guys that have been in this series for a long time. And, you know, like Joe Gibbs Racing and Venturini and
sure.
Chad Bryan and all those guys. And we just, the way we did it, just starting our own team and not really having any manufacturing help, no sponsorship until the last race of the season. It was just, it's just really cool to do it the way we did it.
That's so cool, man. Very happy for you there. All right. What's going on in the off season? You know, it's still kind of COVID. So, you know, are you going to get away anywhere? You mentioned you'll be wrapping up school here in a couple months. What's some fun stuff you got planned for the off season?
Well, right now I'm trying to work on my senior thesis for school. I got to have that completed before I graduate. And that's really the biggest thing I'm focused on right now. But, I'm looking forward to getting in the woods a little bit and start hunting. Season's about to start. So we've been, prepping some areas to do that and, really catching up with a lot of my friends, through the weekends. Cause we, like I said, this is a racing deal, man. It's a big sacrifice. You take a lot of time away from your family and friends, and it's a lot of miles on the road to be able to do what we love. And, you know, so in the off season, I think that's what a lot of people do is make up for that lost time.
Absolutely. All right. Any plans for next year? We're going to see you back in the ARCA series, or are we going to try to maybe run somewhere else once or twice? What are we looking at?
I'm not sure, really. I mean, we've already started working on those plans, and we've got a few different options, but I think you'll definitely see our team back in some sort of capacity in the ARCA series. I don't know how many races or anything else, but I definitely think that after what we did this season, we want to achieve a little bit more and win some races, and but also we want to look ahead and see how we can grow and develop our team and what other series we can race in. So we're working on those plans, and that's what we'll be doing for the next 2 or 3 months, I'm sure, and we'll have something to show for everybody when that time comes. But right now, that's mainly what we're working on our team.
Awesome. For sure. Totally get that. All right, man. Give a shout out to the sponsor, the family, team, and all that good stuff, and where everybody can follow you on social media.
Yeah, definitely. I just really want to thank my guys and everybody at Brelham's Racing, and Shane Huffman, Ryan, Aaron, AJ, and Chris, and my dad. And you can keep up with us on our Facebook page, Brelham's Racing, and brettholmes.com, and all the ARCA media sites as well.
Awesome. Absolutely love it. Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Brett Holmes, driver number 23 and your 2020 ARCA Menards Series champion, for calling in tonight. Brett, this was a lot of fun, and I definitely look forward to talking to you again soon, man.
Yeah, thank you, man. I look forward to it, and I really appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Oh, Lap Traffic Nation, how cool was Brett Holmes there? Oh, man, love talking to these young guys in the ARCA series. Just a breath of excitement, entertainment, enthusiasm, and all that good stuff. So congrats again, Brett, on the championship there. Definitely look forward to talking to you down the road. All right, let's talk a little Kansas this past weekend. We'll start with the truck series. You know, heading into this weekend for any playoff driver in any of the three series, points going in, were all potentially manageable to make up, whether you were first or eighth or however many drivers are currently in a particular series. But with the win in advance to the next round, the inevitability that mistakes and mishaps always seem to happen, who could start off the round ahead? Who finds themselves in a manageable situation, and who finds themselves in a hole? And that is definitely going to be the theme of the evening, because all three of those situations are clearly visible in all three series. So that's the running theme of the night for sure. The trucks, man, we saw Brett Moffitt pick up his first win on the season. You know, he's been so close the entire season. Moffitt consistently up there in the conversation, the favorite to win, always a top pick in lap traffic fantasy. But we finally see him pick up the win in OT after passing. Ah, man, it's been a day, let me tell you. After passing Zane Smith, you know, who he too has had an incredible year as a rookie. So Brett starts off the round, as I mentioned, you know, from these different types of situations, he's clearly got himself locked in. Now, interestingly enough, everyone's second through six are not out of it in the trucks. Creed is looking good. He's in first from a points position. Hill is looking good in second. Smith is looking good in third. Moffitt, though, is in fourth, currently locked in. Enfinger, 7 points behind Smith in third. Crafton is 15 points behind Smith. Now, to complete the trifecta theme here, who is in the hole? Well, you got Ben Rhodes, 33 points behind Smith in third. And poor Tyler Ankrum, knocked out early in stage two of the race, is sitting 56 points back behind Zane Smith in third. Now, the good and the bad, there's still two more races to potentially go win your way in. However, knowing Texas is a mile and a half, that's obviously going to favor Creed and Hill. Martinsville, you got to look to the veteran. Crafton is being one of the favorites heading in there. You know, from a pen and paper perspective, it's not looking good for Rhodes and Ankrum. But as we were reminded a lot of times this weekend, anything can happen, right? And hey, how can we not talk about Haley Deegan? You know, first truck race. I'll be honest, did better than I thought was going to happen. I think she finished 16th, one lap down, kept it pretty clean. That's impressive. Now, that's not to say, all right, well, she's going to go out and win a championship next year. You know, it's Kansas. You know, it's one of the safer tracks to start at. You know, anytime you're going to start, you know, mile and a half is probably one of your safer tracks to go and start at, unless you've got a massive, you know, short track background or anything like that. You know, so, hey, I'm excited. I love the enthusiasm that she brings. She did very well in her debut year in the ARCA series full time there. The only thing that I wonder sometimes in, you know, listen, hey, you know, I mentioned it with Brett earlier, you know, how do you hit that payday? You know, what gets you to pay dirt, right? And, you know, the support is there from sponsorship, from manufacturer, you know, so you got to go and get it. You know, you hate to have it happen too early so that you don't want to set yourself up for failure, right? You know, and I think we've seen that happen a couple times. I think we've seen people get pushed up maybe just a tad too soon, and maybe another year in a different lower series might gain that experience. But again, you don't want to pass down payday, right? I totally get that, you know, and that's just not NASCAR. That's stick and ball sports too, right? Like, hey, man, maybe if you stuck around at this college and this sport, man, maybe you could have gotten a national championship. Maybe if you stick around, you can get that. Well, that's a big maybe, and I got guaranteed draft money next year, right? Of course you're going to go take that. Who isn't? You know, so I totally get it. But on the same side of things, you always want to set yourself up for success. And you know, sometimes that doesn't always happen. So very curious to see what ends up happening with Haley Deegan. Obviously, want to see her succeed because that's going to do great things for the sport in general, right? You know, a couple weeks ago, I had Karen Grant on talking about diversity and inclusion. If Haley Deegan can do well, if Natalie Decker can do well, that's just going to grow the sport from a younger population, right? Because they're younger, might bring some younger male and female eyes and ears into the sport. And it will obviously help attract the female population, which, you know, we need. We welcome. Come on, come to the racetrack. Come listen to the Live Traffic Podcast. I know there are a lot of females out there that are huge supporters of the show on Twitter. A lot of the retweets and all that come from the female side of things. And, you know, people probably don't think of females as being big stock stock car racing fans. Well, they are, and I absolutely love it. And if these girls, Haley Deegan, Natalie Decker, and the likes coming up through the ranks can do well, then that's nothing but a plus for the sport. So totally all about it, and hope that she does incredible in her truck season next year for sure. All right. Let's switch over. Let's talk a little Xfinity Series from Kansas here. And what a race Saturday night. A lot more cautions than I would have expected. 10 total. You know, you take out our stage breaks and Comp Yellow. 7 cautions at a mile and a half. I would have to imagine that exceeds the average on the year at mile and a half for if we're just going to look at actual on-track incidents, I would have to imagine. That said, we had a few different strategies out there on the track Saturday night with some different tire strategies, fuel, different pit stops, all that good stuff. And, I mean, could you imagine? Ryan Sieg would have been able to hold off that field. I said last week, any of the top 8 in the Xfinity Series could go out and win with the exception of Ryan. I like Ryan Sieg. I think he had an incredible year. I love what he's doing. Just didn't see, again, if we're going to talk from a pen and paper perspective, nothing, you know, was on pen and paper to tell me he's going to go out and potentially win one of these next few races to lock himself into the next round. I would love we see Ryan Sieg in victory lane next year. I think that'd be awesome. Not a complete underdog. You know, he's not a Tommy Joe Martin type underdog, but man, right at that mid level of the pack, you know, I went on for weeks. It felt like talking about there's no bubble in the Xfinity Series because there really only are about 12 teams that can go out there week in, week out and compete. And 12 is even a stretch because we saw how big of a gap there was between 13th and 12th place. And then we saw how big of a gap there was between like 12th and 8th. It's massive. There's a very, very big discrepancy there. So, just seeing all that and knowing all that, and I know you guys know the same damn thing, was that I just didn't see that happening. But the other 7 drivers all have wins this year with the exception of Ross Chastain, but he has won before. So all that to say, I would have loved if Ryan Sieg had played spoiler. I thought that would have been incredible. But powerhouse came through. Chase Briscoe picks up win number 9 on the year. Both he and Harvick with 9 wins. Only difference is Briscoe's got himself locked in already. Harvick's still a little work to do. Be pretty cool. SHR could leave Phoenix with 2 championships. Wouldn't hate that. You guys know that. All right, so our theme of the night. Who starts off ahead, manageable, and in the hole, continues into the Xfinity race? Obviously, Briscoe comes out the gate ahead as he's locked himself into the championship race. Who's in manageable spots? Well, Allgaier and Jones are looking good. It's hard to believe Cindric has fallen to 4th, but Haley is only 2 points back. That's crazy to think. If this thing becomes a point battle for these next couple races, you know, Haley could maybe surpass it. Could you imagine Cindric doesn't make it to the final 4? I would feel cheated out of the season if that happens, to be honest with you. You know, Chastain in 6th is only 12 back. Sieg in 7th is 17 back. And the driver in the hole is surprisingly, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, Noah Gregson, 33 back, putting him in an almost must-win situation there. So we'll see what happens Saturday with these guys at Texas. All right. Let's wrap this up with a little Cup talk from Kansas. All right. Well, Cup Kansas, we get to complete the trifecta of the theme of the night of ahead, manageable, and in the hole. But first, what an incredible race. Expectations were exceeded, let me tell you. In my opinion, this was one of the better Kansas races. I'm not going to go as far to say as a couple years ago when Chicago blew us out of the water, like where did that come from kind of moment, because Kansas has been pretty good. But man, did I love this race. Now, sure, was it hard to pass? Absolutely. But tires mattered. That's a key factor to me on how good a race is and the potential of what a good race could be measured against. And that is, do tires matter? And they mattered a great deal on Sunday. You needed 4 tires, especially with those long green flag runs. You needed to be able to save and manage your tires, maybe to have anything left. Maybe the guy in front of you didn't manage well, because that was what you were going to need to pass, was better tires and hopefully someone making a mistake. And we saw what happened to Harvick in stage 1. He dropped from 2nd to 7th like that. And then we saw what happened when he got 4 fresh ones. You know, we also saw the potential of a fuel mileage race there, but then we got that caution towards the middle of the late run there in stage three that basically evened everything out. And then we saw the pass for the lead on pit road. That was the difference. And then we saw an incredible, basically 50-lap shootout that had me spent after watching that. And I think you saw the mental and physical drain on Harvick and Logano after they got out of their cars there. Now, that to say, Logano, obviously, he's the man ahead of the game here, right? He's locked into Phoenix. Harvick and Hamlin still looking pretty good. You know, Keselowski's on the line at the moment since Joey in fifth currently knocks out Chase. You know, Chase is in a manageable spot, only eight back. You know, Bowman 27 behind Keselowski. Truex 31 behind, and poor Kurt Busch, man. Much like Tyler Ankrum in the Truck Series, bad break this weekend. 73 back behind Keselowski. He's definitely the one in the hole. You know, Bowman, Martin Truex Jr., based on the level of competition and the drivers ahead of them, you know, Bowman, Martin Truex, must-win situations as far as I'm concerned. And we're heading to Texas, mile and a half, which I'm sure Harvick is going to be the favorite, but so will Hamlin, so will Brad, even Martin Truex Jr. will be up there. And I tell you, you know, as a Harvick fan, obviously, as everybody knows, Harvick needed that win this past Sunday, because if not, he may have to point his way in as the leader at Martinsville. You know, and that's not Harvick's best track, as we all know. You know, Harvick's won the last three November races at Texas. Eventually, that lucky train's going to run out. You know, so you can't bank on him winning this weekend. Maybe he could build up to the point lead to make it a little bit more manageable to race his way in. But that could be crazy. You know, if Harvick, the regular season champ, you know, all these wins, has to point his way into Phoenix. And even Phoenix, you know, it's not make or break. You know, it's not a few years ago, Harvick at Phoenix. You know, it's been a minute since he's been to victory lane there, since that little reconfig and all that good stuff. So this thing ain't over. It's going to be interesting to see how these next couple of races shake out there. You know, it is interesting, or maybe it isn't, depending on how you look at it, that all three series fit with the theme of the night. I don't get to do too many themes, but hopefully we'll see some good stuff shake out here when this thing's all said and done. Sunday, doubleheader, trucks first and then Cup at Texas. I am pretty excited about that, not going to lie. All right, I think I've exhausted and bored you all enough there. Let's keep things going with a little lap traffic social media. All right, everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, YouTube, The Lap Traffic Podcast, and, of course, Instagram and Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Make sure you subscribe to the show, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, Stitcher. Hey, you can even say, hey, Alexa, play The Lap Traffic Podcast, and she will. New this week, I am actually out on iHeartRadio. So you name it, you can find me. It ain't hard. And you obviously have if you're listening to it this far into the show. And listen, I know I had mentioned that I was going to give a break on the giveaways, but it was in jeopardy of falling below 5,000 followers. And I just couldn't let that happen. So I had to get a prize pack going out there. So at 5,100 followers, giving away a Lap Traffic mug. I think it's probably down to about maybe 70 to go, which is awesome. Thank you to everybody for the retweets and all that good stuff. Keep it coming. Shout out to some new Twitter followers. Joey Acock, at Joey Acock. Steve Letart. Yep, that Steve Letart gave me a follow. The Gas and Go podcast, at Podcast Gas. And let's see here, blindly just pulling it up. Let's see, we got a couple other ones here. Let's see, we got Steve Ferguson, at Vanilla Wilt, and NASCAR Nut, at NASCAR Nut 12. Thanks for the follow, guys. Hope you enjoy the show, and tell your friends. Stickers, koozies, you want one, visit the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, fill out the contact page, and I will send them out to you for free. And all right, normally, this is about that time when we would be getting Mr. Aaron Studwell on the line. However, man, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk a little silly season, because there's been some stuff. Kyle Larson is back. Well, kinda. NASCAR has reinstated Kyle Larson, which probably just means that it is an inevitability before we get a ride announcement from Kyle Larson, which is cool. I was actually on 92.9 The Ticket this morning. Some of you have heard that, which is awesome that you guys go to that stretch to listen to the, some of the things that I do, which is incredible. And I was talking with them. You know, they asked, you know, is it good? How is it? How do you think it is? And I said, I think it's great. And I say that because looking back on the interview that I had a couple weeks ago with Karen Grant, who's from NASCAR's Diversity and Inclusion, and, you know, it, in my opinion, I think diversity and inclusion is a two-way street. We want to be welcoming, and we want to welcome everybody, right? You know, if we're going to just, you know, be generic about it. And so from that regard, here's somebody that messed up. I think diversity and inclusion needs to include people that have made mistakes and have, you know, gone about doing things according to NASCAR's will. And NASCAR says, okay, you can be reinstated. And here we go. So I think from a diversity and inclusion standpoint, that's the two-way part of the street. We welcome him back. And, you know, we embrace and we move forward as a sport to acknowledge that people are humans, people make mistakes, and let's be positive and let's continue to build the sport. So that's how I view Larson being back. Now, there's Chase Briscoe going to the 14. I think that was an inevitability coming off of, you know, Bowyer's announcement and all that good stuff. That just made too much sense that was going to be the case. And I think that's pretty cool. And I think there's some other things that are probably going to be coming down the pipe. It looks like we may be getting an announcement at some point in time this week regarding Erik Jones. And, you know, I mean, that's been all out. Jayski's got that out. I think Pockrass has tweeted that out. You know, there's definitely some rumblings going on there. So the NASCAR silly season is definitely in full swing and cannot wait to do like a full silly season show sometime in the off season for sure. All right. Now we can get Mr. Aaron Studwell on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather, along with Brian Newdorf, keeping us up to date on all the weather happenings for the last 3 weeks. I can't believe it's almost over. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Aaron Studwell. Sir, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, sir. I'm doing well, and yourself?
I am doing pretty good. It's been a busy couple of days here and all that good stuff. But, hey, I know you couldn't hear it, but there was no normal weather intro for this week. It was hail to the victors, because I'm not sure how many times we're going to be justified in playing that this year. So we'll Big Ten's kicking off this weekend. Michigan's kicking off this weekend. Go blue, and here's to a hopeful start.
Yeah, I'm very hopeful, but more optimistic than you. Number 17, 18 penalty look, and no, I'm ready for football, and I'm happy there's a Friday night game. Where I think it was Wisconsin Northwestern Friday night.
Okay. I couldn't tell you. Nah. A little out of the loop for the college football perspective. Not even going to lie about that. I am very excited for the start times that are starting to come out here. Those are,
yes.
I'm pumped about that. So before we get going with that, because if you guys haven't figured out, we're going to do a quick schedule rundown with a win-loss pick here. There are two things that need to be addressed first. Number one, did you catch Newdorf last week calling me out because I literally apt at him?
No, I'm going to have to go tune in on that, because honestly, sometimes I'll kind of jump around or hear what I want to hear.
Sure.
Then it's the beauty of a podcast. And then, yeah, now I'll share.
So last week, before we hit the record button, we're going back and forth, and I was, you know, complaining about Michigan weather, as I tend to do, and he goes, well, you should be good tomorrow. And without missing a beat, just natural inclination, when somebody says, oh, the weather should be good tomorrow, what do? You pull out your phone and you open the app to confirm whether or not. And I literally said, not even thinking that and realizing I'm talking to a meteorologist, let me pull out my phone. Oh yeah, you're right. It is supposed to. Oh, he goes, so you're using your app to confirm what I've told you versus the other way around, not going to me to confirm what the app says. Okay. All right. So, yeah, I at him with an app. And then he called me out.
You better keep it in line on this recording, young man.
I know. I will. I will. I promise. All right. So there's the little funny thing there. Now, before we get to our Big Ten preview here, listen, I've gotten a couple reviews every once in a while. It's so funny. It's like, you know, people don't review all the time when it's positive, but man, that one time they didn't like the content on the show, they're quick to go and review that. We're going to talk some Big Ten football here. If you don't want to listen to it, hit the fast forward, the 30-second thing about, you know, 15 times, and, you know, we'll be back on track. So don't at me with why are you a NASCAR podcast talking football, because it's my podcast and I can do whatever the hell I want. So
there you go. There you go. And also believe that when I promote the podcast later today, I will be saying we are talking about Big Ten football.
Absolutely.
And I will say it. I actually, knowing the season was starting soon, knowing everything's coming up, I'm like, I'm actually going to watch a few games.
Yes.
Then I kind of bounced around the games on Saturday afternoon, Saturday night. No, realized I was kind of missing it.
Yeah, I'm so looking forward to putting on some maize and blue. We're going to do a little shindig for the Michigan State game, which happens to be on Halloween and all that good stuff, which normally if Halloween falls on a Saturday, outside Christmas decorations, you know, so I'm going to have to put that on hold for a couple days, but that's all right. I can deal since we're getting some Big Ten college football back.
Plus, it's an earlier start for you.
Yes,
I mean, it's a noon start, so we're good. You're good.
All right. Well, sir, before we get going with our predictions here, why don't you hit us with the weather for the kickoff of Michigan at Minnesota, a rare Michigan open on the road?
Chilly. And it surprised me. I was surprised the last time they played Minnesota was 2017. Cold. Cold. The daytime high is going to be 29.
Wow, man, they're getting right into it. Right into the
Yeah, so with a 6:30 local start, so right around sunset, I want to put it into the mid-20s. Light northerly winds, which is probably a little bit of a benefit. I'm going to actually throw some flurries in there. The heavier snow looks to stay west of Minneapolis, but if we saw some flurries kind of popping in, I wouldn't be surprised.
If it snowed, I would literally be the happiest person, because it's not here in Michigan, it's in Minnesota, and there is just something about college football when it's snowing. Oh, there is nothing better, in my opinion. Oh, I would be all about some snow on the ground for that. That's for sure. All right. Let's start. We only got, what, 8 to run through here. Yep. I will say I went back and changed one after my initial write down here because, no, I couldn't do that, and you'll probably figure out why once you see where I'm going with this. So
okay.
Opening weekend. Oh, first off, before we get to that, sorry, I got to go on a tangent here. This is how – sorry.
Yeah, you have to. I understand. I've worked with you long enough. You get a tangent, you're going. I'm along for the ride. Go ahead.
How, I mean, if this doesn't just show how superfluous ratings are in college football, I mean, college football's been going on for how many weeks? Big Ten hasn't started at all yet. All of the powerhouses are ranked. Ohio State 5, Wisconsin 14, Michigan 18, Penn State 8. Like, I'm sorry, we were behind the ball. You know, we couldn't get our shit together, and we're starting late. There, I think that is just and that is all a money grab and a ratings grab, just to be able to promote number 8 versus whomever, or 18 yep. versus whomever. That just goes to show you how meaningless these ratings are, in my opinion.
We've seen that so many years in the past, yeah. And you look at the top 25 now. How and even with Michigan and the Big Ten schools in, you got Coastal Carolina,
yeah,
LSU's out, Louisiana Lafayette, I believe, is still in.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. If I'm these other schools that just got sorry, I'm so pissed that I got knocked out. I've been playing, and a school that hasn't been playing and is about to start fresh is in the rankings. No, I'm sorry. You at least start everybody out and let them climb to the top. Like, that is just, that is That's BS. I'm pissed off if I'm any other conference that's been playing football.
I agree with you, but as an impartial observer, and Michigan aside.
Yes.
But if I say Ohio State, yes. I know what they look like on paper.
Yep.
And that's the only thing I have to go on right now.
Right.
And I've seen these other schools play 5-6 games.
Yep.
And I can tell you, I haven't seen Ohio State play yet, and I still know they're better than Auburn.
Fair. No, and I can give you that, but then you know what? It shouldn't take them that long to climb up the rankings. You know?
Well, you just, yeah, tell you they're 0-0, so you don't start in. So after a week,
yeah,
you'll see some shuffling. I don't have a problem with the way it is right now because it gives you, and yeah, it's solely, and you're right, it's solely ESPN wanting to tout, hey, 7:30 Eastern.
Yep.
Big Ten football's back, and I think it's an ABC game.
Yep.
And 18 is, yeah, it's one of the few head-to-head top 25 matchups this weekend.
You got to do me a favor, and this is totally radio for two at the moment here. I haven't talked to her in a minute, so I'm sure you've probably talked to her more than I have. Can you get Angelique's perspective on that? Because I would be really curious to know what her opinion would be on that.
Yeah, no, you know what? After you drop the podcast, I'll put in and say, hey, we were talking, I'll say a minute, whatever.
Yep.
We were talking about this.
Yep.
What do you think? Well, we want your opinion. Honestly, Wojnarowski will probably jump in there too. I'd love to get both of theirs.
I would love Wojo's opinion. Yes. All right. Let's get it back to radio for a few more than just the two of us.
Yeah.
All right. Minnesota, Saturday kickoff, 18 versus 21, Michigan on the road. Who do you got, Michigan or Minnesota?
I've got Michigan. They're favored by 3.5. Little Brown Jug's coming back to Michigan. I'll make the round trip.
I've got the W there as well. The following weekend, Halloween. Michigan State in the big house, an empty big house. Who do you got?
Yeah. Michigan win. They're going to run the ball down their throat.
Yes, I am with you there. I've got the W there as well. The following weekend, Saturday at Indiana. I think we can both just agree that's going to be a landslide victory there.
I'm not sure landslide, but it will be 25. It'll be 25 in a row.
Yes. Fair enough.
40 of the last 41.
Isn't that crazy? Eventually, that's going to give at some point.
Yeah, well, yeah, something. Break. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Following weekend, Saturday, November 14th, the first maybe the real big test. Wisconsin is traveling to the big house. All right. This is the real test. Who do you got? Wisconsin or Michigan? Well,
and I think you hit on the thing right there. Wisconsin's going to Ann Arbor. The home teams won the last four games. So I'm not sure what home field's going to mean this year with no fans, but still a Michigan win.
All right. I've got, like I said, I got them losing this game. You've got Harbaugh really hasn't done much. And with the crazy year 2020, he might blow him out, but we will see. All right. Following weekend, Saturday, November 21st, we are going to Rutgers. I'm pretty sure we both got this one marked down as AW.
Yes, and we can ask the Rutgers band to play the Victors again.
Excellent. I absolutely love it. All right. Following week, Penn State coming to the big house, currently ranked 8th. What do you got?
You know what? Big Ten did Michigan no favors on who they got to play, but where they get to play them at is going to help. I've got a Michigan win. They'll be close. Oof. They'll have to play a near perfect game, but I think Michigan can win at home.
All right. So, I've got them as a loss. I might change my mind. Minnesota's not going to be, an easy game to open. Minnesota was a challenge last year for anybody that played them in their conference. I change my mind on a couple of these after I actually see them play. But right now I got that one as a loss. Saturday, December 5th, home against Maryland. What do you got?
Win.
Win. Yes. Win. That's an easy. Yeah. Yes. I'm with you there. And then last but not least, Saturday, December 12th, the rivalry continues against Ohio State. I owe some bets to Brad Yunker. what do you got there, sir?
Michigan loss. Michigan, it goes what you're saying about Harbaugh. This is 2020. Things could be different.
Yes.
Michigan can't keep up on scheme. They can't keep up on talent. Take it on the road, it's going to be even worse. I'm not sure they'll put 60 up again, but yeah, it's yeah. No, Michigan a loss. Fair. So
yeah, I'm with you.
Finish 7-1.
I've got them as a loss, so I've got them at 4-3, which is not good. 4-3 is not good. I hope that it can be a little bit better. I think now here's the thing, and then we got to get weather for Texas, and we can wrap it up. But is 2020 an anomaly in terms of does Harbaugh get a free pass regardless of what happens with Ohio State this year?
It depends on how it looks, and it depends on how big of an anomaly it is. I mean, if they play really well all season and then they lose a close game at Columbus and you say, hey, 6-2, 7-1, you know, even three losses? If we get three losses, especially if they're bad losses.
Yep.
But I'm not sure who you replace them with. And that's a discussion for December and January. But
yep. Fair enough.
What do you think?
I think he needs to be undefeated going into Ohio State and not lose by more than a touchdown to come back next year.
That's a big sell, right? I don't think that's realistic.
I don't think it is either, but I think you're gonna have a Lion-esque pissed off Michigan fan base if that's not the case, I think. Because you've got a fan base that is, I mean, you've got your diet, right? Like, we're always going to wear the maize and blue. But when you're coming off a season where you're not going to have a single person in that big house next year, so you've kind of switched the tide and people, not that 1 year off is going to be the new norm, but man, you're going to have people that have found a whole bunch of new stuff to do on Saturdays. It could be challenging the following year, maybe, to keep some people back. I could be way off on that, but I'm just thinking if you have another loss to Ohio State and Harbaugh's, what, 0-5 or 0-6 against them?
Yes.
If you don't have a pissed off fan base, you've got something wrong.
No, I understand that. I appreciate that. I just think, and I want to take the other side of the coin with you. I think people are going to be kind of starved to get back. And yeah, people are going to find other things, but people really miss going and tailgating and being there and having a reason to go back to Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
So I don't think ticket sales are going to be a problem in 2021, COVID aside. But yeah, I think that's a very hard line to say. You have to go in undefeated and lose by less, I'll say single digits.
Sure. Yeah.
Yep. That's
what would keep me happy.
That's where I'm at too. And maybe it's my love glasses for the maize and blue, but I think realistically they can win every single game. But then I don't think they can keep up with Ohio State.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right. Well, that was fun. And hopefully we have a reason to play Hail to the Victors a few more times this year. Let's wrap it up with Texas Motor Speedway coming up this weekend. We got a doubleheader Saturday and the big cup race on Sunday. What do we got?
Saturday, AM showers, and it's going to be more before sunrise, PM clearing. So we've got the racing in the afternoon there. High of 68, low of 51. Sunday, I want to get the forecast first, and I'll give the caveat after.
Okay.
Partly cloudy, breezy, 12 to 18 miles an hour with higher gusts. So kind of more like Sunday was than Saturday at Kansas. High of 86, low of 62. Those strong winds are because of a cold front that's moving in. Right now it's forecast to move in early Monday. So that leaves us clear, dry, windy. Well, fair, dry, windy.
Fair enough.
If that comes in faster, we could see a chance of showers start to creep into the end of the race.
Oh, all right. Okay. All right, well.
But right now, if you ask me what I'm going to be putting on the website later and the graphics tomorrow, it will be partly cloudy and breezy.
Excellent. All right. Well, we will keep our fingers crossed for that. Sir, great to talk with you. Everybody, make sure you follow Aaron on Twitter at RaceWeather, along with Brian Newdorf at NASCAR_WXMAN for all the updates as we get closer to race day. Sir, we'll catch you in a couple weeks.
You will. Go blue.
Go blue. All right. We'll see you.
Later.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation, great to catch up with Aaron. Great to talk a little Big Ten college football, maize and blue. If that was a little choppy there, sorry about that. That's when things got a little crazy earlier today. All right, you guys know what time it is. It is time for this week's Lucky Dog and Lap Down picks. I'm going to get right into it with my lucky dog, the fans. This weekend's racing at Kansas was fantastic. Lap Down, Tyler Ankrum, Noah Gregson, Kurt Busch. Those are the three guys in the hole, in my opinion. All right, let's get to your tweeted responses. Scott at 1985 Wagner's Lucky Dog Xfinity Series. Hemric looking stout. Lap Down, Noah Gregson, not a good way to start the round. Lucky Lap Down Dog Alfredo. Like, I need to explain this. Yes, man, what a wreck. Man, glad to see he walked out of that thing all right. Scott's Cup Lucky Dog Logano started the round with a win to get in. Lap Down, Kurt Busch, not the time to have power plant issues. No, it is not. Rowdy at the Rowdy Dragons Lucky Dog Logano blocking his way into the championship four. Lap Down, Kurt Busch showing what it means to be a championship contender with great poise after his motor explodes. Mick at GoDucks42_Mick. It's been a minute, Mick. Glad to have you back here, man. Lucky dog for Mick. Clean air, undefeated with the current package. I love you, Mick. Lap Down, CGR engine failures in the playoffs. Jeff at JBev1789's Lucky Dog Xfinity Series NASCAR and all the safety measures since we lost Senior. Amazing and happy to see Alfredo walk away from that. Lap Down, Noah Gregson. Love his driving style. Just didn't work out. Believe he can win in the next two, though. Jeff's a lucky dog for the cup. How about Bowman in this run they're on? 7 top 10s in 9 races. Really happy to see them coming together. Lap Down, Bowman unfortunately couldn't get past the top 2 and looks like a W is the only way to the round of 4. All right, those are your tweeted responses. Let's get to your calls on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hi, Brandon. It's Matt at Camper News. With the racing today at Kansas for the Cup Series in the first race of the round of 8, especially at the end, battle between Joey Logano and Kevin Harvick, the last, I think it was 20, 30-something laps. It was absolutely unbelievable, the battle they had on their hands. And it was absolutely awesome to see that. You know, two very tough drivers battling each other, you know, and I thought an incredible blocking by Joey Logano, and he was able to win it in the end. It was absolutely a great battle, I thought, and that helped Joey Logano secure his berth to the championship four in Phoenix coming up in a few weeks. So, anyway, my lucky dog and I got two. First in the truck series, to Haley Deegan had an incredible day yesterday in the truck race. A top 20 finisher in her first career truck race was unbelievable. And I'm very happy to hear that she's going to be driving full-time in the truck series next year. So I am really psyched about that. I'm really looking forward to seeing if she can do some great things in the truck series next year. And my other lucky dog is going to go to Joey Logano. At the end, you know, he led the final, I think it was 30-something laps, you know, from the time he won the battle off pit road in the last caution to win the race. And the blocking he did to secure that win to the championship four was unbelievable, and congratulations to Joey. And my lap down is going to go to Kevin Harvick. He was so close, but yet so far. And, you know, if it wasn't, I feel, for the lap traffic ahead, I think Kevin Harvick could have had a shot at winning this race. And, you know, second place finish for Kevin is great, but I think he'll get a win in the next couple of races to make it a championship four, or he'll make it in on points. I definitely think that's going to happen. So anyway, enjoy your week as always, Brandon, Lap Traffic Nation, and I'll talk to you next weekend after the second race of the round of 8 from Texas. Thank you so much, Brandon. Take care.
Oh, Matt, thank you so much for calling in. Matt, I tell you what, I normally don't disagree with you, but there's one thing that I got to disagree with you on in terms of Kevin Harvick being able to get the win, if not for lap traffic. I think he needed lap traffic to have a shot because he needed something to mess Joey up to get that pass. You mentioned the blocking, and when we 100% right there. And when we think of blocking, we normally think of super speedways with blocking. You know, occasionally you might throw a block down, maybe just to get someone to lift at a mile and a half, 2 mile track, something like that. But man, it was a full blocking effort for 30 laps, which, like I said, that's something you don't see there. So I think Harvick needed the lap traffic to be able to get a pick move in there or something to make that happen there. But hey, man, appreciate the call. As always, look forward to hearing from you next week for sure. Let's get to the next call on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon, it's Kathleen at KHI Fan. I guess I wasn't as mad as others over Sunday's race, and I'm a fan of the driver who finished second, so really I should be more mad than I am. Sure, it would have been nice if Harvick could have gotten closer to get past Logano, but I'm actually not so sure that Harvick wanted to push the issue and risk giving up a pretty good day with only two races to go until Phoenix. So, you know, it's really hard to say. I've got a lot of mixed feelings about Sunday's race and what happened at the end, but it is what it is. My lucky dog this week, and this is even before I knew he was going to be a guest, is going to go to Brett Holmes for winning the ARCA Championship. It's a small family-run organization without any big checks in their pocket. They've been running ARCA for, I think it's been about 5 years or so, against some really big teams, and they kept at it, and they were rewarded at last. His post-race interview about showing people they belong, if that doesn't get you in the feels, I don't know what to tell you. I was so happy for them, and that's what I love about that series. You still have big teams and you have little teams, and it's an opportunity in that series for the little guys to be able to do that, where we're never really going to see that in trucks or Xfinity or Cup. So it was just a real good feel-good day. My lap down is going to go to the 11 team. As strong as they can be, and they've been, unbelievably strong this year, they always seem to beat themselves, and you know that they didn't want to see any of the other round of eight drivers win on Sunday. He's still above the cut line, but I think it's only by about 20 points or so, and with two races to go, that's cutting it kind of close if you ask me. It sure would be awful if, after the year he's had, he didn't make it to the round of four, but we shall soon see. That's all I got. Talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, Kathleen, thank you for calling in. Man, you hit it right on the head there. And, you know, it's kind of like what I mentioned a little bit ago with Austin Cindric in the Xfinity Series, you know, being kind of right there in fourth and not too many points ahead of Justin Haley there. Like, I'd feel cheated if Cindric doesn't get to the final four. And I'd feel cheated if Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin don't make it to the final four. Regardless of either one, you know, Xfinity, if Cindric or Briscoe doesn't win it, I think they at least need to be racing each other on an equal playing field for the championship. And I'd say the same thing in the Cup Series about Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin. You know, hell, Chase Elliott might go out there and win the damn thing, but those two, I think, need to be out there racing for it. You know, I almost feel cheated that Kyle Busch isn't in there anymore, because we, like I mentioned it last week, we all know the level of intensity and how good of a driver Kyle Busch can be. And you want to say you beat the best, you know, so that's kind of how I look at that. So I'm with you 100%. Look forward to your call next week. All right, let's get to the last call. You know who it is. It's the voice of the Wave Around Hotline.
What's going on, Lap Traffic Nation? Voice of the Wave Around Hotline at Racing Chance. Calling in cold from Kansas. Cold because I'm not in the mood to give any hot takes. I'm over-complaining. It always falls on deaf ears. Not to mention, it was freaking freezing out in Kansas. as I was enjoying my nice 75 degree and sunny weather down here, but that's neither here nor there. I'm not going to give a lap down to what I want to give a lap down to, so I'm just kind of going to beat around the bush there. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. Lucky Dog is going to be Joey Logano's crew, getting him out first, and Paul Wolfert making a two-tire strategy call, because as we all know, track position is way more important than being the fastest car. As I also said, believe it was last week, don't be surprised if three cars win a race and one of those three isn't named Kevin or Dennis. That's kind of be proven true after old Dennis pulled the Dennis and might need the Heimlich maneuver here coming along shortly. And I'm okay with that. So it's almost like I know what I'm talking about sometimes. So Lucky Dog is going to be my prediction last week. I'm one for one so far. Let's see if someone else, not named Dennis or Kevin, can win two of the next two and potentially knock out Dennis.
Oh, man. I love the Dennis. That's hysterical. Oh, that's great. Absolutely love it. Flawless. Flawless as always, Mr. Andrew Kansian. Absolutely love it. All right. That is going to do it for this week's A Lucky Dog and Lap Down segment. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it is time to wrap this thing up with a little lap traffic fantasy. I can't believe we are so close to crowning this year's Lap Traffic Fantasy winner. Just a reminder, get your picks in by midnight on Thursday if you are in the final eight. Like I said, we're down to just three races. Two are going to set the final four for the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. Week high this week was 154 points by Joel Nolf with his picks of Broman, Briscoe, and Austin Hill. And Joe is on the line. Joe, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Oh, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Nice job. Congrats. Moved up a little bit and looking pretty good.
All right, thank you.
Yes. All right, man. Listen, here's what we'll do real quick. I'm going to run down the standings that the trend of the night. There are some that are ahead. There are some that are in a manageable spot. And then there are some that are in the hole. Currently in first place is Joe Houston still with 902. Second place, Robert Riggs with 842. Joe, you are in third with 839. But not all far right behind is Matt Camper in fourth with 835. Brian Hall in fifth with 825. Kent Dolphy in sixth with 805. Chad Robb in seventh with 793. And David James also with 793. So that's our top eight standings. It's close, man. 4-6. Probably have a shot at it there. So you're going to have another good week this week. But before we get to this week, what did you think of the racing at Kansas, man?
I thought they were great, especially the trucks. I'm with you. I love watching the trucks.
Hell yeah, man.
They almost never disappoint.
No.
Especially seeing Holly Deegan with her first start. That
absolutely
was great.
Yeah.
Zane Smith almost taking the win. That was great. My guy Austin Hill coming back. I think he was a lap or two down, and he came back and finished third. Awesome.
Hell yeah. Gotta love Austin Hill for sure. All right, man. So before we get to the picks, do you have like a strategy coming into this, knowing that you need to, you know, keep maintaining in terms of trying to get in the head of what the other players are going to do so that you do it? Like, are you that involved and in on in this, man?
I don't know if it's really a trend. I overthink it every time.
Yeah,
I especially the last 10 minutes waiting for this call, I was like, oh, who am I going to do? Like, I had it kind of picked, but I wasn't for sure. So I really don't have like a set way. I kind of look at old races. I used to look at old practices.
Right, yeah, for sure.
And just go
from there. I love it. All right, man. Well, you ready to make some picks for this week?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Lap Traffic Fantasy players, we are headed to the Lone Star State where Kevin Harvick has won the last three November playoff races. Can number four make it four in a row? The trends are all over the map on this one. In the last 10 races at Texas, Chevy's got three wins. Ford's got three wins. Toyota's got four wins. If you are Kent, Chad, or Dave sitting 7-10 right now, what's your play? It's time to get creative and hope for a few Hail Marys on this one because you guys know that the guys sitting 1-4 just need to hold par. I expect 1-4 to pick Hill, Moffitt, Cindric, Briscoe, Hamlin, or Martin Truex Jr. if they've got them left. So what does that mean for you bottom four? I think you got to go with spoiler for all three. Maybe Sauter in the trucks, maybe Chastain or Haley in Xfinity, and maybe you got to pull out the big dog, Kevin Harvick, if you've got him still and you're sitting in the bottom four. Who can lock their way into the championship four this weekend? Who betters their spot in the lap traffic fantasy? We will find out this weekend, but first, it is time for our picks. Joe, we'll start with you for the trucks. Who do you got?
I'm going with Zane Smith.
Zane Smith, I like that pick. The rookie almost got it done.
Yes, he did.
Weekend. So, yep, I like that. I'm going to roll with Grant Enfinger for the trucks this week. Nice. I think Grant can get some damage done at the mile and a half or so. Over to the Xfinity Series, sir. Who do you got?
I'm going to play it safe, and I don't think he'll have two bad races in a row. I'm going Austin Cindric.
Fair enough. Safe pick there. Everybody yep. knows I'm rolling the dice on Ross Chastain yep. until he gets it done. So Ross Chastain for the win. And all right, over to the Cup Series, sir. Who do you got?
All right. I was struggling with this one because I still have Hamlin and Harvick, but I want to save him.
Sure.
I'm going Ryan Blaney.
Ryan
He's ran good there.
Woo!
Yep. He won the first two stages in July.
That is.
Maybe. He'll
that
do
is
it
a good, I like that pick, man. I like it. That is going outside the box. I love it. I went with him last week. I'm going to go with him this week just because it's Texas, and he does typically run pretty well at Texas. I'm going to go back-to-back on Kyle Busch. I'm kind of going the Ross Chastain route. Kyle Busch has got to get a win. I also could see Kyle Busch playing spoiler, and this being the first year since this format in the Cup Series that the winner isn't in the Final Four. So, and that could be Kyle Busch there as well. So, yeah. I still think Kyle Busch gets a win this year. So, we'll see.
Yep.
All right, man. Well, best of luck, and who knows? Maybe we'll talk to you before this thing's over in 3 weeks.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, man. We'll catch you later. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 206 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Subscribe, download iTunes, Podbean, all that good stuff. Be on the lookout. The end of the year awards are coming up sooner than I can even wrap my head around it. There's going to be some cool stuff about that, let me tell you. Huge thanks to this week's guest, our 2020 ARCA Series champ, Brett Holmes, Aaron Studwell, Joel Knoll. Thank you for calling in, guys. Still working on somebody for next week. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!